This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language. And sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
It's the booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and the drinking JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to MLS Box to Box on Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
You know what, I've got to tell you, everyone, I am a little bit sick of all your faces.
Shut up!
It's been a week.
No,
we've seen each other a lot.
He's right.
He's right.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say, I'm so refreshed.
I was. And then Tuesday hit. Now, we've been doing a lot of content this week, a lot of podcasts, a lot of MLS, CPL, of course, that's in there right now, our regular Footy Primes as well. So, yeah, you're probably sick of us too. But anyway, here you are, listening and watching perhaps. So welcome to Box to Box. Today we have a guest, another guest, a great guest actually. This guest is a longtime servant of both incarnations of professional Montreal soccer, with the Impact and more recently of CF Montreal, from a player to coaching to his latest role, director of culture. It is Patrick Leduc. Patrick, welcome to Footy Prime.
Thank you. That's a warm welcome. I thought you were sick of me already. You haven't even started.
Well, Amy might be. So you guys worked together a little bit at CF Montreal. And yesterday, I believe there was some sort of in-house match and stuff happened. Can you explain?
Stuff happened. Well, the purpose of this match was to test the VAR system and to align the cameras and test the communication devices and so on. And I think it's important that I put that into context. as we played a full field game, 8v7, aging, former players that we are, Amy Walsh and I. And yes, something happened that had never happened in my entire career. I've only had one direct red card. But the purpose of this match was to, you know, get the referees to simulate some situations where they're going to review the play. So I did get a red card in the first half.
Conceded a penalty.
On purpose. And it was reviewed. And somehow they maintained the call that it was a penalty shot. And then in the second half, the referee specifically asked, please create a situation where you'll be around the box and there might be a foul. So nobody's acting on this demand, this request. And obviously, as director at CF Montreal, I took matters into my own hands, literally, and got a second red card in the same game.
It was very CONCACAF, I have to say.
But I managed to stay on the field the whole time, and the second red card was rescinded, I think, Amy. I think it was...
It was.
Yellow.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go back and review the rule book because I think they consulted the screen and then upon review, it was rescinded, downgraded to a yellow because the pull or the tug of the jersey was not it continuous. Or I was like, what is that? Yeah. And you can see
a continuous tug.
My heart wasn't
perhaps familiar with that.
On box to box.
Yeah.
And the restart was a drop ball for my team. So, yeah, some crazy stuff going on.
I know.
We got someone here with a drop ball.
Hey, can I ask you, Patrick? So we all know Amy. We all love Amy. And she played. She's quite competitive in everything she does. Now, this is a, kick around, bit of fun, obviously for an important reason. Was Amy overly competitive?
I think she was on par with the rest of the fellas taking part. I had to get Amy to switch teams at halftime so she could come on my team. We were losing by 3 goals. And all I have to say is that the final score was 3-2. So I think Amy, basically in hockey terms, you were +5 yesterday.
That's right. I think I was a non-factor really more than anything. I think it was just numbers for the other team that allowed us to get back into the game.
What's the soreness factor for you two right now after playing a full field, a full pitch?
Well, I'm not bad.
Yeah, Amy's an athlete. We only played 2 times 20 minutes.
Oh.
I'm pretty sore. I run 5 times a week or 4 times a week. I'm still sore from this soccer game.
Yeah, Pat runs triathlons, so like he's really? Like legit. Yes,
let's
he's
on
like
the
legit
pod now
in
and
shape.
Talk about triathlon. Yeah.
We've got to get you against Sophie Schmidt. Mm-hmm. Have a triathlon off to the two of you.
Soccer's harder.
That's not a thing, Sharms.
It's not a triathlon off. It should be. Maybe it's not right now, but it can be.
That's right.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
So this is obviously ahead of the home match coming up in Montreal. So VAR. Now, VAR, listen, I didn't think we'd be going here, but I love this. Obviously controversial. MLS, one of the first to actually implement it. And actually, I think they've probably done a better job than a lot of leagues, better than the Premier League, for example. Is VAR changing at all that you know of for this season for MLS?
There's the introduction of and I don't think it's going to happen as of this weekend, but later on in the season, you'll hear the officials make the call on the PA system. Any specific stadium will have a PA system, just like you see in hockey games where they're announcing what the penalties, it's for holding or whatever. What else is happening in hockey now? Fighting or
boarding?
But they'll make the call, announce it to the crowd. And I'm sure, announcers in the booth will get maybe further explanations. I'm being told it's going to be pretty short and sweet. So no rule explanation, really. Just a simple call on, after reviewing the play, it was confirmed that this was a handball, the call is a penalty. So on.
I like that myself. I wonder how referees like it. Have you spoken to referees about this being center stage and then having to address the crowd? I mean, that's going to bring with it, you would think, more pressure.
It will. Another fun fact is that referees are being coached on how to announce, assume a confident position, stop walking, and really take a deep breath before making that call. And I think that's actually important. That's actually good advice for officials because anytime they look shaky, out of breath, not sure about their words. If somebody's talking to them in the mic at the same time or in their ear, they might look confused. And that's never what you want from a referee, looking confused, looking hesitant. And they're all human, right? And I remember watching a short series about how the referees are interacting with each other, talking to each other, and a linesman actually thinking he's making a mistake or he's made a mistake, and that's affecting the rest of his performance throughout the game. So I think, right. Yeah. It's something new for referees. I think some will not like it. And others will feel maybe vindicated that, you know, this is the call and, you know, I'm making it and they like authority. A lot of them do. So, you know, it's further authority over 20,000 people in the stadium.
It's a new thing, right? I'm going to hear this in the referees room before matches now, them going through their scales. Go, re, mi, fa, sol, la, Figaro, Figaro, Figaro. All this kind of stuff, right?
Get in the range. Good, man.
So or like the self-talk in the mirror, right? to get that body enough. Language right and to get exactly. that confidence up. But I think it goes along, and Pat, I don't know if you can shed some light on this, but the image of MLS, like I very much like that. I think it brings more transparency. It helps the fans to understand what's happening on the pitch. But from the league standpoint for MLS, it was important for them to get the CBA over the line with the referees and with the officials. Cause can you imagine putting replacement refs in this type of situation? That
right,
would have gone bad really quick.
Right. And they're a professional organization. And I think it's another way to raise the standard. I agree. I've enjoyed watching the Rugby World Cups over the last few editions. And I thought it was great that we could hear the conversation between the replay officials and the way that the officials actually ask a question or are looking for a specific answer. There is a process, and it feels like, there's a lot less. I'm sure there is recrimination, but it feels less of a scandal than most of our football matches actually lead us to.
But do you think, footballers are different to rugby players, right? Rugby players have always been brought up to have respect for the officials. You can't back talk a referee. The captain speaks to the ref and no one else. Can footballers become that, do you think, or is it too late?
We're a lost cause, really.
Great question. I think it's too late. I think the fact that rugby is a popular sport, but not every country, not every culture has adopted rugby. And I'm not saying that, you know, rugby cultures are better. I think whereas football is more diverse, is bringing a lot more variety to the table. And I think there is, you know, everybody's coming from a different viewpoint. Not everybody sees the official as a person that needs to be respected. Sometimes the official is somebody that we should fear or that we should be happy that we could trick. And there's a great deal of pride in certain cultures about getting away with, whatever you don't get caught doing. And I'm saying this as this is, you know, something that I've read about a long time. You know, famous game between Argentina and England in 1986. And there's various viewpoints about the hand of God, you know, for some, it's the biggest cheat in the game. And for some, it's the greatest way to, even things out against the oppressor. I think there's something very romantic about that. So going back to your question, I think that, football's like crazy in that sense, chaotic, and it'll stay that way forever.
It's very true, isn't it? I mean, the different cultures, people don't understand that sometimes in Canada, that is seen as differently, it's seen differently in different parts of the world, what they can get away with. And they don't see any problem with it whatsoever in some places.
Jonathan Wilson has an amazing book about the Argentinian soccer culture. I think it's called Angels in the Field. I think it portrays the whole culture of how you're not a bad guy you're actually smarter. If you could do things that nobody sees, that the referee doesn't see, and that's being cunning. This is how you survive in the streets. This is how you make your name in the society. You're a Robin Hood. You're a hero in a sense. And I think there's praise for that. And so referees, unfortunately, are might be victims of that culture.
It's a little bit harder to get away with it all now, though.
It will.
All the cameras on you.
Exactly.
The only thing that I'm thinking, right, is these referees, now we're going to hear them speak. I hope they use football lingo. And I hope they don't, we end up hearing, you know, foul on number 35 in the crease, penalty shot.
Give him more credit than that, Jimmy.
We heard dumping in for the bet. Remember that a couple of weeks ago? And someone was on the dark web. I think Amy Walsh
Commentator or analyst using hockey language. Yeah. But I think this will, it has a chance to go wrong, go all pear-shaped on referees and in the way that they're portrayed or seen by fans, by players. But I think it has a chance to help referees out, to gain a little bit of empathy for their, not their plight, but for their job and how it's very difficult. But it'll let us into their world a little bit, but it will portray them as people and not just as officials that we point fingers at, you know, for the result going against our team.
Yeah.
I very much liked it in the Women's World Cup. And you got a sense of the person, behind the uniform. But then you also got a sense of no matter their background and what country they came from, that words matter. And going back to your point, Jimmy, about lingo, it's yes, you want to make sure that you're using the right turn of phrase and the right words that apply to our game. But in these situations, explaining the rules and the words that you're choosing to use are very important. So there, I think that adds to the pressure for these referees. It's increasing the transparency. It's increasing the clarity around the call, but it puts more pressure on the referees to get it right.
Well, it provides accountability, and that's what you want, because a lot of times a referee will make a call and he doesn't have to say anything to anybody. Whereas now you're actually hearing what he has to say.
Or she.
And when all eyes are on him, it's more or less, what did you see? Tell me.
Or her.
Or
actually,
what did it see?
Oh, they! My God, it's right there.
It the referee.
International football is a little bit different too, because when you look at these referees, they're coming from different countries, and I think the FIFA have got everybody speaking in English. Remember that Spanish referee at the FIFA Women's World Cup, and you know she was a great referee, but when she came back to speak, she's like, after further review, it is a penalty.
Is it Minnie Mouse?
Well, man, I think referees should be interviewed after matches. You want accountability? Let's do that. Right?
Yeah, we are talking about other leagues who do that. And I think, Lizik, you mentioned in La Liga, that's what they do, right? They don't have the on-field explanation where they're mic'd up and on a PA system, but they have an actual official press conference post-game, right?
Many leagues have the referee reports that are public. Some of them have, I don't know if it's a press conference or there's an opportunity to get on the mic and kind of explain what why they made that call. But look, you.
Whose phone's going off? Is that you, Pat?
Getting all kinds of requests.
Oh, you're a popular man. Sorry for interrupting.
It was Jimmy for sure.
Yeah, I know.
Amy, stop sending me emails, Jimmy. Yeah,
sorry.
You're doing great.
Just to be an asshole, I'm just pinging him while he's talking.
But I was going to say, look, NFL has the most cameras of every sport, and they started the replays a long time ago. And they still make blunders, and they have 8 officials on the field, and they still take forever to make decisions. So, VAR is not a miracle, but I think that explanation, in-stadium explanation is overall a positive step.
We've heard the word culture mentioned a few times so far today, and it's a real modern term in football, I think, culture. You're director of culture at CF Montreal. Can you explain exactly what that is?
Yeah. So it's part of the...
The only reason I'm laughing, Pat, is because last night, Jimmy, myself, Dubs, we're all on our dark web WhatsApp going, what the fuck is a director of culture?
they created a job for me.
Yeah.
They saw what they did in Austin with Matthew McConaughey, and they looked at me and they said, wow, you're Matthew.
Can you please say, all right, all right, all right?
All right. No.
Right. Come on.
Maybe in Quebecois later. I'm part of the marketing team. We have someone from the from our marketing department is from is a creative from the publicity advertising world. Without necessarily she doesn't know the football lingo, Jimmy, is what I'm trying to say.
Are you making this all up, Pat?
So we wanted to have that that more of a that soccer feel, that ambassador role that I also have is kind of merging into this position at the marketing level. So specifically, I'll deal with all of our Apple TV or MLS season pass demands. We'll work with alumni and with supporter groups. So that's kind of what the soccer culture is all about here. And participating in all kinds of club events on and off the field that need kind of a soccer touch or a football touch that sometimes is overlooked, is how I'm going to put it.
It's like authenticity. Director.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I like that. I want to be an authenticity director somewhere. That's wicked.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
So you might have mentioned the Apple demands. Obviously, they take over before last season. They do produce beautiful content. There's no doubt about it. Do they get what they want, essentially? Are you being told by MLS, listen, if Apple come calling for a certain player or a certain whatever it is, you have to do what they say at this point?
No. Well, it doesn't. It's never happened. The launch of MLS season pass is all the games are on the platform. But you also need to create some content about your club, about your players. So generating that content needs, a little bit of a direction. So that's what my role is about. You've got specific contents that I've asked Amy to participate in, this season, weekly reports, other features about the team. Game in, game out, there will be additional demands. We mentioned that, Apple will have a feed in French, in English, in Spanish. So we need to accommodate for those various demands. Game in, game out, we're playing Cincinnati this week. I'm sure we'll have some interviews in French, in English, and in Spanish. We have some Uruguayan players, a player from Venezuela. Martinez, Cocaro, the other team has Luciano Acosta, so he might do some interviews in Spanish. And So running a little bit of you know, those operations. I'll be involved with that.
And in many ways, the unique culture that we find ourselves in Montreal, where language is usually at the forefront, complicates matters, I think, occasionally, or from the outside looking in, that's what you would think. But I think it gives the club an opportunity to showcase local talent, to showcase videographers like Rogerio, Nicolas Legendre, Clément, who via the demands of MLS have had, the club has had to increase their quality in terms of their content. But the club has then benefited because it's not only specific to MLS season pass, it then that's also out on all the socials. And I think that has contributed this year to the buzz around the team. And then they're coming back. And I mean, this is a big deal. The Saturday game against the juggernaut, that's FC Cincinnati, but it's also the first home game. And then that buzz has continued despite three consecutive losses. Like, people are excited to see this team. I think all of that content in English and in French, or I should say in French and in English, has contributed to elevating all of that.
Yeah, and thanks for your taking part, Amy. You know,
I mean, I clearly have a bias, but I mean, when you hire the right kind of people and you have a clarity of message, which is also part of your role, that helps to add to that cultural aspect, but also how the team is viewed in the greater community, but also across Canada and in the soccer landscape in North America.
I think for us in Montreal, part of our success when we've had a little bit of a better seasons, at the core, you needed some local players or some local coaches in the staff to convey, you know, kind of a vibe or a passion and authenticity again about what we're about. And then you need some quality players that come in from outside of Montreal. And when they buy into the whole project, then we've done better and our crowds are more engaged. There's more people at the stadium, and this is the recipe that, has brought us success. And when we got away from this recipe over the years, we found that we were, you know, it was difficult for us. So that's the club that, you know, we look at ourselves in the mirror. We yes, there's something specific about Montreal and MLS. Can we use that to our advantage? You know, can it be confusing for the opponent to come play where everything's in French? Maybe even the referee should speak French when he announces the call. So nobody understands Montreal.
Well, I was going to ask. Oh, sorry, Sharms. I was just going to say it was a running gag for a while when you guys made a name change from Club de Foot, and on our podcast we called it Club Foot, and we thought that wasn't the greatest translation from Français à Anglais, Club Foot. Because as we know, it's not the most athletic to have a club foot. So I just want you to know, we did bash the marketing team, which both of you are from. I was doing my homework. You both are marketing at CF Montreal. So I just want to give you those kudos for club foot. It gives us a running gag over 4 years, eh, Sharms?
And their old logo was terrible, that snowflake.
Just to clarify, I moved to the marketing team after we went back to the new identity.
All right.
Well, you know what, Patrick, though? I mean, Montreal's had an established football culture, though, for a long time, right? Longer than Toronto, for example. You know, kind of, even though TFC's had the Lynxes of the world, you know, for years prior to TFC. With Montreal, as you know, back in the Impact days, a successful club, which you played on. How have you seen the cultural angle of Montreal, Quebec soccer grow since MLS came to town?
It feels like we're getting closer to the world stage. I mean, for a Montreal soccer player to dream about playing soccer in the 90s, you know, you were dreaming about playing somewhere in Europe, which was unattainable, really. For one Craig Forrest, you know, you had hundreds of little kids that were dreaming, how do you get there? You know, how does that happen? And then you find out maybe if you have a passport or somebody can help you, maybe there's an outside chance. And then you have a Pat Bernier who makes that jump and he says, I'm not going to play hockey. I'm not going to play amateur soccer or semi-pro. I'm going to go somewhere out there, Norway, second division, and then I'm going to make my way. But now you don't need to do to take that dive into, you know, outside of your comfort zone. Well, it's still outside of your comfort zone, but it's accessible through the academy system, through the various clubs in Canada. CPL provides also a great, opportunity for many young players. I mean, Montreal now feels like, we were looking from outside in. And then sometimes you play at Olympic Stadium in front of 50,000 people. And you're playing for a cup. And you could actually go to that World Cup Championship or whatever it was called back in the day, the club championship, if you actually win the CONCACAF. So every time that Montreal did something that elevated the level, the standing of the club, it felt like, hey, maybe we can take part in that dance. And now we're part of MLS, and now it's more of a challenge of, can we figure out our true identity and thrive and overachieve the way we did in 2022, playing with it with our means, but actually finding that way that is going to bring us success on the pitch and off the pitch. I think we need to carry a message that rings through. The crowd needs to feel that the team that they see on the field represents them. I think that's the key takeaway from the last 2 years is. The crowd will come, even if we don't win every game, if they feel like they see themselves when they watch the team on the pitch, they recognize themselves.
So building a team in Montreal on the pitch, you've been involved in the academy, of course, for a long time. You know the process to develop kids. Is it going to be through free agency trades? Is it through the draft? Is the draft really anything moving forward in MLS, or is it on its way out?
I think it's maybe less influential in the team building process. But look, I think those are all means of, there's various ways of, engaging or acquiring players. And you need to be good at all of them. Whatever your budget is, if you have 15 million for a player or you have 5 million or 3, you need to be good at, the in each category, whether it's DP, homegrowns, veteran players in MLS. If you can be above average in every category, your team will make the playoffs and your team will have a chance if it's, engaged in the right direction by the coaching staff. So I think for Montreal, the homegrown aspect is very important. I think you need to use them. You need to have that not just on the roster, but contributing to the team on the field. And then you need to get the right people from outside. So, international slots, DPs, if you're going to go that way, young players, players that are going to contribute and, really maximize the return on the investment.
There are players, though, like Grayson Duty, who with Dominic Yankov is one of our favorites on the pod just because we get to say Duty. But
and Yankov.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Did he not come through the MLS Super Draft?
He did. So Grayson Duty's a right back, and I'm sure he's going to get some playing time at some point in the season. I'm looking at the month of May. We have 8 matches in May. Canadian Championship will be, we'll play 2 Wednesdays or Tuesdays during that month. And we have some midweek MLS fixtures. So I'm sure we'll see some of the players that haven't gotten a chance. And then I'm looking at June with Canadian internationals taking part in some friendlies, Copa America. I wouldn't be surprised that we have 5 to 6 players selected on various national teams. Again, a player like Duty could get some playing time. who knows? You know, maybe we sign some homegrowns to this year. They might see the field later, sooner rather than later.
Is it obviously is this window right now where the Canadians, the Habs, aren't very good, which we're thoroughly enjoying here in Toronto? Is it a window where CF Montreal can benefit, can actually, you know, put together a very good team, can compete, or are the Habs the Habs? It doesn't really matter whether they're good or bad. They're going to dominate the narrative anyway.
It's always going to play a part, whether the team, but it's, you know, it's not a cause to effect. The Habs can be great 1 year and actually carry some momentum into some TV ratings because they're playing right after them or before them. And then, you know, it's more of a culture of we have winning teams in Montreal. We like it. We'll support all of them. I know that here at the offices at the stadium, that's kind of a pressure that we can live with. I don't think the team needs to focus on that. I think it's something that's like a distraction, whether, you know, the Canadian hockey, the hockey team brings you more attention or less. I think you need to focus on what you're doing on the field. And if you're, again, if you play with passion and people, you know, recognize your effort, there will be more media demands. There will be more partners wanting to take part. I know that's kind of a romantic way of seeing it, but I truly believe you carry the momentum that you create on the field into the offices. And then, you know, you could also say that if you have a good culture in the office, then it'll reflect on the product that you have on the field. So we'll do our best. We'll do our best is what I'm trying to say.
Speaking of romantic, from a player's perspective, if you think back to your own days as a player in USL, when you played for the Impact, what's your perspective on the way that MLS or USL and then MLS and the way that that's evolved on the pitch and kind of MLS as a league and its standing worldwide when you compare it to other leagues?
I thought we were way better back in my day. all kidding aside, no, I think, I mean, look, I look at the travel conditions, you know, they fly charter. I mean, all the teams fly charter now. That was a shock when David Beckham arrived to the league. He realized, well, they're flying commercial. So we used to, you know, play Charleston while you're flying to somewhere in Charlotte and then you're waiting on the tarmac and then there might be a connection. You might miss it. You might miss the game, actually. The way you travel, I mean, the standards are and the stadiums are nowhere. We used to play in high school football stadiums in Minnesota and Cleveland and but that builds character. Resiliency. And if you get through some of those USL seasons, and I'm sure it's the same in England, Jimmy, I don't know what you could say about that, but if you make it in League One or League Two and you go through those are hard seasons, you could, when you get to Premier League, it's like a different standard. It's like the country club. Basically, I know that the playing level is totally different, but I mean, the conditions are nowhere near what they used to be here in that USL. And I think, you know, we've made, you know, great advances in the way that the sport has evolved at the elite level, at least.
Yeah, I think we're getting there slowly but surely. That's for sure over here. But it's a journey to say nothing less. Listen, Patrick, thank you so much for this. This is great. Great insight, and well done, Amy, for managing to get two CF Montreal podcasts in 1 week. But I'm glad he did. It was outstanding.
And I should say, Pat was a great guest on our CF Montreal 3 questions a few weeks ago, which you clearly listened to, James Sherman.
I do listen. I don't know why you say I don't listen.
I listened to the whole thing, and I said to Amy, you got to get Pat on our show so we can ask him about what this bullshit director of culture position is.
Hey, Space Cowboy.
We still don't understand that.
No, speaking of country clubs.
It's a box of cigars every month.
I think most clubs have similar positions now anyway. It's a changing world. But listen, yeah, Patch, thank you so much for this. Great stuff. You're welcome back anytime. That has been MLS.
Bye.
We'll try. Pat. MLS Box to Box with Patrick Leduc. Yes, I enjoyed that one. That was great. We are back, of course, on what is it? We're Thursday today, right? Thursday?
Yeah.
Thursday. So we're back tomorrow morning. But right now you can find Three Questions Montreal, okay, Dubs, as well as this. You can find Three Questions TFC just dropped this morning. Three Questions Whitecaps just dropped this morning. The broadcast dropped this morning.
Yeah.
This morning, yep.
Christ, we've got to figure out some kind of rotation here. We've got a lot of pods dropping. We need more days in the week. That's the problem.
We do.
But yeah, a lot of these are undated, so you can just watch them and listen to them over the weekend. Also, our Declan Hill interview is on YouTube right now.
Getting rave reviews.
Well,
yeah,
rave
that reviews, brilliant. Yeah. That was the best.
Great chat.
Yeah, well, so there's a lot out there. Check us all out at wearefootyprime.com. Thank you, tonybet.ca and fubotv.com/footyprime. We're back next time, whenever that is. Cheers for listening.
Cheers for listening.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Bett. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Cheers for listening.
Cheers for listening.
That was great. That was really good. I enjoyed that.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.